Bonjour, buenos dias, good morning. Just a note, on the table out in the foyer, there are some copies of what I'm about to say in different languages, so if you would like one of those to follow along, if that's easier. There's also just little smaller portions of paper that are the scripture and a place to take notes, so in case you, if that helps you to stay focused and pay attention and engage, then that is there for you as well. And there's pencil crayons because life is maybe better in color. Okay, so today we just heard read for us by our sister Becky, the fifth dispute that has distanced God from his people in the book of Malachi. And there's this fundamental problem that needs to be addressed. Robbing God by failing to give the tithe and offering. And with this dispute comes the rushing together of the four previous disputes, of a lack of love, of worship treated with disrespect, a failure to be faithful to covenants, and injustice going unchecked. And with the disputes comes the words at the heart of Malachi, return to me, and I will return to you. You see, the relationship between God and his people has become distant and broken. That is one side of the reality named in this call to return. The other reality is that the heart of God longs for his people, longs for things to be made right, and does what is needed to bridge the gap between this reality, the broken relationship, and what is desired, reconciliation. It is why we've named this series, or at least at the beginning of the title, Return to Me. It is this reality that the words through Malachi, given to Malachi, hope to achieve. These words can be sound like harsh criticisms, and strong challenges and even shocking revelations, but they are a word from the Lord given to heal and restore by turning his people back to him. And when they do, he will receive his people's return as he is, faithful, with boundless grace and covenantal love. And I hope and pray today that through studying this kind of agreement, this system of tithes and offerings and what it's supposed to do, we will see what has gone wrong and what God has that is so good for his people as the Lord invites them, the people then and them through us, to place our trust in the God who does not change. Okay, so robbing the Lord. What are tithes and offerings? Quoting from one commentator, offerings were portions of sacrifices set apart for the priests and the voluntary gifts for special purposes. A tithe, by contrast, is something regular, something expected. A tithe was the first tenth of what the land produced. It could be grain, it could be fruit, it could be flocks. And it's to come in as regularly and at appointed times. It would provide for the Levites. These were, and then from them, the Levites would come those who serve as priests, those who give leadership to the worship of God and taking care of the temple. The Levites were one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Unlike the other 11, when the land was portioned out, they got no land. Instead, their role, their call, part of this holy covenant between God and Israel, is that the Levites were to serve God and the people as priests. And the rest of the people had land, which was a blessing, yes, but it was also land given. And what would grow from that, you would give a tithe. So that the crucial and foundational work of worship could continue unhindered by the Levites. It would be given to the Levites. Worship is so vital for what it means to be in a relationship with God. So vital that this whole tribe was given to the task of worship. So vital that God set this up in forming his people. It's vital because this is what we are made for. Our response to a loving and gracious and faithful God is holy worship. And to make sacrifices, to give generously, to be a people set apart so that lifting high the name of the Lord and praise and honoring God is central to what it means to be God's people. And so when the rest of the people fail to give their tithes and offerings, they are robbing God. Instead of coming with thanksgiving and providing for the priests and Levites, their robbing of God removes the capacity of the Levites to serve as priests. You can think of it like a pie chart. Right, we are creatures with limitations, and that includes time. And if the Levites must go elsewhere and work to provide for their families and for themselves, then it's less time they have to give at the temple, leading worship and serving so that God and the people might meet there. Failure to bring in the tithes and offerings is therefore robbing God. It's robbing God of the love and the honor and respect that is due him. It is a failure to be faithful to the terms and conditions of the covenant that made this people God's people. And it reveals the unrighteousness within the community. It's an injustice. These belong to God to serve his purposes. It's, in fact, something that God has entrusted to them, and he asks for just a small portion back. And instead, what is happening with the tithes and offerings, instead of going to the Lord, it's being used to enrich other people at the expense of God. And this is the vertical dimension to robbing God, that the negative impact and consequences on the people's relationship with God. But there is another dimension to robbing God, and it's the horizontal relationship between people. As people, our gift and responsibility as image bearers is being connected with God and reflecting God's goodness into the world and then taking this and bringing it back to worship to our Lord. When things fell apart by human choice and with sin and death and evil coming into this world and to God's good creation, it doesn't just affect us and God. It affects us and others. And so God comes near and calls and forms a people to be his people, holy, good, and righteous as he is, faithful, gracious, and loving as he is. This call would come through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, later through Moses and again, and now through Malachi, to once again be his people, a witness, a revelation to the world of who God is and what God is about, and a way to bless the whole world through this people. In calling a people, God is at work to heal and sort out the vertical dimension that has gone wrong, us and God, right? This distance and strained relationship between people and God. But it's also then to work through that, to heal injustice, unrighteousness, and the sin between people, between families, between neighbors, between nations. Because tithes and offerings are not just for the temple and the priests and the worship of God. It's to provide for the poor, the vulnerable, the foreigners, the widows, the orphans. Some of the tithes and offerings would be set aside and stored in storehouses so that all those in need could come and have enough. To not pay tithe, offering, robs God as it's failing to love. Failing to love God and supporting this fundamental work of worship, but also failing to love God and failing to love your neighbor. God wants to form his people to be like him. And so he gives expectations, commandments. And one of the ways is a commandment to give tithes and offerings. It's an act of obedience for us. But through this obedience comes grace. As we exercise obedient giving, we are being trained in the ways of generosity. When we give obediently, it means the work of God and the needs of his people are provided for. Even for the ones who had a bad year. When God sets up tithes and offerings, it's to make sure everyone's provided for. Those who've had a great year and those who've had a poor year all come together and make sure everyone has enough. It sounds like something that actually often happens in our country. This is from a 2021 CBC article entitled, Ontario Farmers Sending Hay to Drought-Stricken Saskatchewan Farms. That year we had a major drought out here in the West. And it hit Saskatchewan especially hard. And in response, Southern Ontario farmers packed up extra hay and sent it as a gift west to help feed the animals out here. The effort was a joint effort between the Canadian Federation of Agriculture and, anyone want to guess the other agency involved? Ooh, close to MCC, Mennonite Disaster Service. That's right. Here is what Lester Weber, MDS, that's Mennonite Disaster Service, Canada's Ontario Unit Secretary, had to say. We're helping our brothers and sisters that are suffering out there. We felt this is one way that we could help them back as they helped us. That's right. 10 years earlier, the hay had gone the opposite direction. And that's not the first time this has happened. And I don't think it'll be the last. Part of what I love about the story is you can kind of keep following this thread backwards of people who've been impacted by compassionate, generous giving. Of putting actions, loving actions to provide for others as we have generously been provided for. And if we take what James has to tell us seriously, we can trace it all the way back to God, who tells us that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. And this story also makes me ponder how far generous giving can ripple outwards and forwards. And it does something in me. It makes me want to be with a God and a people like that. I want in. I want to learn and be impacted and be a part of this kind of a life and this kind of a reality. And the way to learn to be generous is to be obedient to our generous God who does not change. So what can we learn from Malachi? We've learned that tithes and offerings provided for worship, for providing for the priests, and for those among them in need. We learned that it's an obedient way that reflects the generosity of our loving, covenantal, righteous God. What can we learn from Malachi's day then to move us as a people of faith, a church, towards reflecting God's unchanging ways, especially as it comes to our money and our resources? I think we can begin by asking, well, do we see this here? Are we robbing God by what we as a congregation do with the money entrusted to us? I like pie charts, and I haven't seen one for a while. My brother Wes, that's a comment to you, or any graphs of any sort. And so I thought I should put one together. And the one behind me is actually where we send the most of the money that comes through what you give. Each year, our church board puts together a budget. In January, as a church, we vote on whether we think that's a good use of the money, your money, the money that God's entrusted to you and you've returned to him. So the expenses you actually see reflected there in that pie chart make up about 90% of our expenses for the upcoming year. The biggest chunk is staffing. That's my salary, our custodians' wages, anticipating a new administrator and a summer pastoral student, as well as all the stuff that comes with employment costs. It's kind of a light bluish chunk. The next biggest chunk is property management. Some of those things are things like solar panels on the roof, but it's also stuff like light bulbs and insurance and coffee and toilet paper. It's all the stuff that goes into making this place a place where we can come together as a church to do the work of the church, to care for the space that where we do ministry, where we worship and fellowship and do outreach. The next biggest chunk is what we give to missions. It's the orange chunk. The money we send to help others hear of Jesus through missionaries we support and around the world to provide for daily and basic needs. We heard some of that from our brother Paul this morning. And then the next chunk is the ministries that are outreach focused and whole or in part, that green chunk. This is like mustard seed, where we go every time there's a fifth Tuesday to prepare and serve a meal to feed the hungry. It is what we give to create a free grocery store every other week here on Tuesdays that we call Community Cupboard so that we can feed our people and our neighbors. It also includes ministries like children and youth as they are reaching out to friends and friends of friends to show them Jesus. And so we have to ask the question, I think, does this line up with what we've heard of God's heart in Malachi? For my part, I really want you to know that you're not robbing God by failing to provide for me and my family. You provide for us well, and not just financially, but in so many ways that permit me to be your pastor without hindrance. And so as you look at this pie chart, I think there's a couple of reactions you might want to have. One is, if you think something needs to be adjusted, then you need to come and talk to the church about it. We talk at congregational meetings. That's sort of like our church family meeting. And if you think something there needs to shift, then come and tell us about your prayers and your vision and your words and your opinions. And if you look at this and you go, yeah, we are being good steward of what God has given us, then maybe a hallelujah or an amen is what's needed. A chance to thank God for being part of a people who are faithful with what we have received to give to the Lord. So we can ask ourselves, are we giving, are we being faithful to the heart of God with our finances, with our resources here? I think the other question we can ask is, are we people who give so that God can be honored and others can know his goodness? This is where it goes from being a people to a person, from a group to me. Am I giving in obedience and letting God stretch and move me towards generosity? And I want to say just two things on this. If I'm looking for a place to start giving financially to God's work, then we talk about a tithe. We can have a whole discussion about what happens with Jesus and giving in the New Testament, but it's a good starting place. For me, it seemed to hit the place between trust, between sacrifice, between obedience, and between learning to give generously. The second thing I think I want to mention on this is that let's remember the call to provide for God and his people is the work of all of us. Sometimes we're going to be Saskatchewan. Sometimes we're going to be Ontario. And that goes for us as people as well. Sometimes we have abundance and sometimes we have very little. There will be seasons when we are able to be generous with much and seasons when we will be able to be generous with a little. But being generous is what is called for. And many of us have been in a place where we've had no money to give and barely making ends meet. So let's remember that we are a people called to give and care for each other. And so as one body, as we give and share, then the work of obedience of giving and tithes and offerings, I think, is to be covered among us all. So am I giving in a way that honors God and is open to asking God for guidance with my money? Malachi's people had failed in a fundamental way to love God and to love one another with failing to give tithes and offerings. But the fundamental work of loving God and others extends beyond money. Money is not our only resource. We have skills, we have time, we have ministries and graces entrusted to us. The pie chart on the last slide does not accurately reflect the hours that go into things like worship and outreach here, that go into caring for one another. If you want to know what our church gives the most time to, it's this, worship. We think this is so important, we give most of our time to it. And the second thing we give most of our time to, outreach. Taking the words of Jesus and putting into actions to share the goodness of God with others in words and in deeds. So whether we have much in terms of money or little, part of how we can honor God and each other is to care for one another with our times, our skills, our gifts, our graces. We can minister to one another. It looks like things like prayer. Sometimes people tell me, all I can do is pray. I say, oh, I'm sorry, you've got that wrong. You are praying, thank you. It is reading books to children in preschool. It's calling one another and asking how you are doing and listening. It's hosting a Bible study. It's changing church signs and making coffees. It's raking leaves and leading singing. It's giving a ride to worship services, putting together a bulletin, encouraging someone, sharing a meal, inviting someone to go join you for a walk and befriending them. The work of the church is to be worship and outreach and fellowship. And so this church, this faith, fellowship of faithful believers works because God has generously given to us and us to each other as an act of generosity. And so I can ask myself, what has God given me that I can honor him and provide for others? What has God given to me that I can offer back to the Lord as an act of love to him and others? What can you do? Perhaps it is time to be stretched in obedience with money or time or skills. What is the Spirit stirring in me, stirring in you to offer to the Lord in obedience so that we can be formed to be generous as our God is generous? Coming to a conclusion that there's one other thing I'd like us to ponder and pray about. Obedience in giving forms us in the way of God's generosity. It is also a practice that deepens and expresses our trust in God. Our God does not change. All we can do that brings us to be in awe of our faithful and gracious and loving God, who is the same today as he is, as he has been yesterday and will be forever. All that we can do to be in awe of this one bears fruit of our trust towards God. In Malachi's day, the people had a hard time trusting God because there were disappointments and doubts, threats internal and external to their very existence. And so they begin to pull away. Turn away. They begin to hoard. They begin to not heed the calls of God's commandments. And they begin heading in a direction away from God, towards increasing and greater brokenness and sin. And God, through Malachi, calls them to return. That it's not too late. Despite the ways that they have been testing the Lord with their failure to love and to worship, failure to be faithful, their failure to be just. They have been testing the Lord's patience by their sin. But God offers them a way back, a starting place. Will you give the tithes and offerings as a practice of obedience, as a means of generous love, as a way to begin to grow the trust that has just eroded? In this invitation, God is offering them a different test. Do you know that everywhere else in Scripture, we are forbidden from testing the Lord? That's because there it's language like tempting or putting on trial or calling into question the goodness of God. But here, the meaning of this word testing is different. It means more like God is inviting us to come close and study, to come and see what God is like and examine. It's actually very similar to what God has just promised to do in the previous passage in Malachi, where he says, I will refine you in fire like gold and silver. God is inviting us to prove that he is good. In the same way you prove gold and silver is good, to look at it and see its purity, its goodness. That is this kind of a test. God is inviting his people to come close and study him in his ways. And through examining God, prove that he is faithful. As God has been good to them, God will be good to them still. God is inviting his people through the obedience of tithes and offerings as an act of repentance to see if God will turn back to them and bless them. This is not just like if you do good for me, says the Lord, I will do good for you. No, it's about relationship. Because when we are with God and following God, his blessing flows to us and through us. And it's through trusting God's character, through testing his faithfulness, that we can hear well the promise to Malachi's people and to us. See if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops. The vines of your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. God's inviting us to know his blessing and his goodness. We get to discover through God's call to return to him, to trust him, that God doesn't just match what we give back to him, he responds with abundance. One commentator wrote this, you cannot lose. You'll receive an abundance, an overabundance of blessings. And the sense here of blessing is until there's no need anymore, entirely sufficient. So what is God's heart like for us? Is it good? Is it faithful? Does he provide? Does he reach out? Is he kind? Is he generous? Is that what God is like, church? And if that is what our God is like, you need to know he does not change. And so we are invited to trust in the God who does not change. We are invited to trust that when we return back to God in repentance, we will encounter the same faithfulness, love, and grace, that we will find blessing. We are being invited to trust in God and go on an adventure with Him, to share in His work, to provide and bring salvation and healing to others. We get to take part in that. Through us, God is making a way to provide. And we get to have this incredible adventure as we come to trust Him, that our time, our resources, our gifts, our presence are joined with God's work to bring blessing and provision to all. So I pray that from these words of Malachi, that we would can know and experience the faithfulness and grace and love of our God, that in all things we can trust that He does not change. I pray that we would hear the heart of God to abundantly bless. And because we know that that is what God is like, that when we do turn away, to hear the call back to repentance, I pray that we would see the generosity of God as we give obediently of our time, our resources, and our presence. And that as we are invited to examine and study and to prove the faithfulness of God, we as a church would be deepened in our trust and become a means of grace to provide and care for others as a sign of His goodness. Amen.